weekend. Parce qu'il fallait une fois.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening on the SNS Network. Stay tuned or you will feel bang.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
It's Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011. And you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya! And I wouldn't want to be ya. Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. Just Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
The power is back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
That's called the power, brother.
Oh yes, 4 days before the extravaganza known as WrestleMania 28, and we're live right now on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. I am the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella, coming at you alone tonight. The Power Andy Knowles with some business he needed to take care of. He could not be here, so I'm going solo on what will be an open line Wednesday. We'll be opening up the phone lines a little later on to get your thoughts on WrestleMania and, well, anything else you want to talk about. Welcome, of course, to the show. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk some WrestleMania, obviously. But first, I want to get to something that was posted on the SNS Facebook page the other day. This comment was so interesting to me that I neglected to respond to it on Facebook. I figured I would save it for the show. I like to credit listener and SNS Facebook member Murray Ship. And what Murray said was, with the recent stories of wrestlers complaining about The Rock taking their spot and the repeat line from guys released from TNA or WWE about creative not having anything for them, my question is this: when do we stop blaming creative and start looking at the talent? Now, I thought that that was a very excellent point, and I'd like to address it right here, right now. My feeling is that this question has a two-part answer. And the two parts of this answer are, A, sometimes it's the talent. B, sometimes it's creative. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples, ladies and gentlemen. You guys can let me know what you think about this. As far as talent being pushed, as far as talent getting themselves over, if you will, I feel that some talents truly do need to step it up, while other talents are just constantly brought down by creative. I'll give you some examples. The first two people I want to talk about, Jeff Hardy and Brock Lesnar. Now, when I mention Jeff Hardy, I'm talking about when Jeff Hardy had his last run in the WWE, number one merchandise seller. He was definitely the top guy, the top baby face in the company, perhaps even above John Cena. And he was selling merchandise like crazy. Now, some will argue that Jeff Hardy got himself over. He got himself over through the internet, through YouTube, through various other means. And I think that the WWE was so impressed at the fan response that they put the title on him. Now, what happened? In the height of his popularity, in the height of this merchandising boom, Jeff Hardy decided to pack up his tights and leave and do whatever he wanted to do. Now, I'm not criticizing Jeff Hardy. I'm proud of the guy. I'm glad it seems he's got his life together. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is a situation that you cannot blame on creative. That right there is a situation where this guy decided to take his ball and leave. You can't say the creative wasn't pushing him. They were pushing him to the moon. You can't blame Vince McMahon. You can't blame the WWE. The blame goes solely on Jeff Hardy. My second example, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was another guy who the company was pushing to the moon. Brock Lesnar was definitely one of the top guys there. He was pushed as an unbeatable monster. And because of the whole incident with him and Steve Austin or whatever else his reasons were, first he wanted to go pursue a football career. Then he wanted to go pursue wrestling in Japan. Then he wanted to pursue mixed martial arts. And what happened? Well, he had a good level of success in mixed martial arts, but unfortunately, because of his illness, which wasn't his fault, he had to retire from the UFC. But those are two examples of guys who really had everything that they needed to be top guys in the WWE and decided to leave. Totally their faults. Now let's flip the script. I'll give you a couple of other examples. One of them is Muhammad Hassan. Muhammad Hassan was a guy who definitely, JJ mentioned this the other night, that Muhammad probably could have been the next Iron Sheik, but creative made the asinine decision to put him in a terrorist angle. If you remember, the terrorist came out, attacked the Undertaker, and this was only a week or two after the London bombings. Obviously, the network was not happy. So this man was let go for being too good at his job. That right there is creative. Totally, completely, utterly on the backs and the heads of the creative team. Now I'm going to give you another guy you may not have thought about, and that is the late, great Owen Hart. A man who I felt was just as good, if not better, than his brother Bret. And this was a guy who was saddled with a gimmick of dressing up as a superhero in blue. Everyone knew it was him. The WWE tried to insult our intelligence for a while by, well, who is the Blue Blazer? Well, everyone knew it was Owen Hart. Now, that right there is another example of creative taking a guy who I thought was very good on the mic, who no one doubts was excellent in the ring. Unfortunately, we don't know what their plans might have been for Owen. Unfortunately, we lost him in that tragic accident. God rest his soul. But there's one of your examples of creative totally botching. There are quite a few examples of creative botching. Let's take a look at Natalya Neidhart. Natalya Neidhart, not the greatest girl on the mic, but definitely one of the greatest they have in the ring. And she has a flatulence gimmick. That is creative. So this question really, really lit a fire under me, and I just wanted to address it. And I think that the answer definitively is it depends on the situation. It depends on the superstar. It depends on what creative does and does not want to do. Recently, it was mentioned that Some guys in the back are lazy. Some guys aren't working as hard as they should. But the bottom line is you have to do what you're told. And when your superiors come to you and say, this is what you're going to do, you don't always have a choice in the matter. CM Punk. Look how dynamically CM Punk's character has changed. He took a stand, he had some guts, and he decided he was going to do things a bit differently. And it caught on. The Rock, back in the day, he went to Vince with the suggestion of becoming a new age Ric Flair. Going from being the smiling Rocky Maivia to the badass Rock. And it worked out for him. The bottom line is you shouldn't be afraid to speak up. You shouldn't be afraid to make your feelings known as far as creative and the WWE booking committee is concerned. But at the end of the day, your life is in their hands. And they are going to do with you what they will. So, you know, just a very, very interesting debate going on Facebook, and I thought I would address it. Now, moving right along, I'd like to, before I take some phone calls, get into some news stories. Of course, headlocks2headlines.com, the official news source of the Pro Wrestling Rewind. One of the first stories I've read relates to WrestleMania. According to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Brock Lesnar is seriously interested in a match against The Undertaker or Steve Austin for WrestleMania 29. Brock being at WrestleMania 29 is far from a lock, but he has hinted at his interest for close to 6 months now. Also, the WWE merchandising deal that he signed a few months ago has surely opened up the line to working more with the company down the road. While he'll almost surely never work with the company again long term, it's pretty much a guarantee that he'll work a short term program or two here and there. Just a few days ago, Brock Lesnar versus The Rock was also being discussed, mind you, not announced, discussed as a potential WrestleMania 29 blockbuster that would be matched a year in advance. God, no. God, no, please not again, please. I can't. I can't take another year of Twitter battles. I can't take another year of Facebook battles. I can't take another year of guys bringing it via satellite. Please, WWE, if you have anyone listening to this show, and I'm willing to bet you do, please, not another year-long epic. Look, The Rock Cena, I'm definitely looking forward to. But damn it, this thing could have been booked 6 months ago. It could have been booked 3 months ago. You know, just a year is too long. It cripples the character. I mean, when you looked at John Cena for the last 365 days, there was only one thing on your mind, and that was The Rock. It didn't matter who he was facing in the ring. It didn't matter what he was doing in his personal life. John Cena goes for pizza. Everyone else in the store thinks about The Rock. John Cena does his laundry. Everyone else in the store thinks about The Rock. A year is too long. Please not again. Now, as far as possibly Taker versus Brock, or even Stone Cold versus Brock, or The Rock versus Brock Lesnar, I'm all for it. I'm all for Brock Lesnar coming in and doing an appearance here and there. But again, this is a guy who you can't put your money on. This is a guy who's proven that when things don't go his way, he puts his little rubber ball in his pocket and he heads home. You can't, he needs to earn trust is what I'm saying. He needs to be there for a little bit and prove that he'll do the job, that he'll behave, and that he won't run off when things don't go his way. But as far as him being involved in WrestleMania 29, I have no problem with it. But please, not again, WWE, not again. In another story, this one's very interesting. According to PWInsider.com, WWE held a meeting with their talent in regards of the use of Twitter. Officials want the talent to lead their Twitter followers with WWE-inspired hashtags so WWE can better benefit from social media. Oh, yeah, like you guys haven't been benefiting from social media for the last year. WWE has become the TWE, the Twitter Wrestling Entertainment Association, Federation, whatever you want to call it. Following this announcement, CM Punk tweeted, having a hashtag meeting about hashtag tweeting and proper use hashtag of hashtag hashtags. Oh, how the hashtag business has changed. So once again, CM Punk, being a little bit of a wise guy, you know, putting his character out there on Twitter. I mean, really? Every 15-year-old with a laptop, a cell phone, an iPhone knows how to use Twitter. A meeting about how to properly utilize Twitter? Wow. Wow. I mean, what's next, ladies and gentlemen? Is the WWE going to have a meeting to tell the wrestlers how to properly wash themselves? How to properly make toast in the morning? How to properly eat their food? Really? Ugh. You can't write this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You can't. Another report, obviously, Christian was pulled from the 12-man tag team match at WrestleMania 28 due to lingering issues from his ankle injury. Man, poor Christian. You want to talk about another guy who creative really has done nothing with since he came back from TNA? This is a guy who's popular. You know, I think he can really be a fan favorite. He's proven he can get to the fans. And does anyone remember him winning the title and losing it the next night during a SmackDown taping? I mean, wow. It almost, man, if you're Christian, do you just regret leaving TNA? Now, a lot of people might say I'm crazy, that there was nothing else left for him in TNA, but what has been left for him in the WWE? It's a shame. At least Christian will be inducting Edge at the Hall of Fame ceremony. So he will, in some tentative form, be a part of WrestleMania. But, man, to lose out on that payday, that stinks. This is very interesting as far as Alberto Del Rio is concerned. Original plans called for Del Rio to be a part of the 12-man tag match. However, WWE officials believe the match is below him and are planning something more dramatic for his eventual return. The feeling is that the tag team match at WrestleMania 28 is not fitting for a past world champion who is in line for a big push in the coming months. It's mentioned a possible feud with Randy Orton is in the works. Wait a minute. Beneath him? Beneath him. You know, what is it about Alberto Del Rio that everyone just has this obsession with? What is it about this guy that everyone's in love with? To be honest with me, he's a good wrestler. He has a lot of charisma. But when you say that someone like Del Rio is beneath this match, well, what does that tell me about this match? It tells me that, and this is just my opinion, that the WWE themselves really don't give too much of a damn about this match. However, it's a very important match because the team that wins, their respective GM, be it Teddy Long or be it John Laurinaitis, will end up controlling both shows, being the be-all, end-all, power trip, Superman, godlike individual. Why would that be beneath Del Rio? Couldn't you just see Alberto getting the pin for Team Laurinaitis and then him becoming Laurinaitis's boy and Laurinaitis putting him in the title picture? That statement, just to say that it's beneath a guy like Del Rio, I don't even know how to respond to that. Wow. It's just, kind of crazy, if you ask me. But that tells me that it's possible that Del Rio is in shape to compete, and I hope so. I hope the guy's healed up. I hope he's fine. I don't dislike Del Rio, but I just don't think he's the, you know, be-all, end-all that everyone says he is. Now, the plot thickens. This was actually posted on ImpactWrestling.com. And it's a rather lengthy piece, and I'm going to abridge it as much as I can. Star Ric Flair to attend WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. TNA Impact Wrestling star Ric Flair, the international celebrity, the Nature Boy, is set to become the only wrestler in history to be inducted into the World Wrestling Entertainment WWE Hall of Fame twice. Now, again, this was on Impact Wrestling's website. Flair's dominant 1980s group, the Four Horsemen, known to be the greatest in-ring performers of all time, will be granted their seat in the Hall of Fame at a ceremony in Miami, Florida on March 31st, the day before WrestleMania 28. Yes, WrestleMania 28. Those words are on Impact's website. It mentions that the inductees will be Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, Barry Windham, and J.J. Dillon, along with Ric Flair. The news of Flair's second induction was followed by a firestorm of controversy. Questions flew about whether Flair would attend the ceremony, as he is currently under contract with TNA. Understanding what a huge honor this is for Flair, this is great, TNA is graciously supporting him in the decision to attend the Hall of Fame ceremony alongside his fellow inductees. TNA President Dixie Carter says she is proud of Rick's many accomplishments and the contributions he has made to the world of professional wrestling and beyond. We wish to congratulate him on another honor he truly deserves. Now, there's two ways to look at this. It is cool that TNA isn't putting up a fuss about this. I mean, I could see TNA really being, you know, asses about this and trying to stop him from appearing. On the other hand, and unfortunately, I can't credit this news story because I don't have a source. This is just something I read, perusing, if you will, the internet the other day, is that TNA was going to let Flair attend, providing Flair was allowed to announce or advertise TNA during his Hall of Fame speech. No. I can't see that happening. Now, once again, the Hall of Fame is not going to be televised. It will most likely be on the WrestleMania 28 DVD set. Even if Flair were to advertise TNA during his speech, how many people think that cut will make it to the DVD? I doubt it. But congratulations to Ric Flair. Hopefully this ring doesn't end up in a pawn shop, but I digress. Tiny little story, there is talk of putting Brodus Clay in a quick WrestleMania 28 squash match. Well, why not? Brodus has had nothing but squash matches for the last, what, 2-3 months? I mean, his match this Monday lasted, a minute 34 seconds? Look, I like Brodus. I like the gimmick. I like the music. It's time to do something else. It's time to get this dude a rival. Now, I understand with WrestleMania coming up, you know, storylines like that have to be put on the back burner. I have no problem with that. But what is the point of a 90-second WrestleMania match or a 2-minute WrestleMania match? You know, who are they going to feed to him this Sunday? Again, this is only speculation. There's word of this happening. I can neither confirm or deny it will. You know, congratulations if the guy gets a little WrestleMania moment, but really, it's time to move on with this guy. I do enjoy Brodus's gimmick. I don't think he's the best talent in the ring, by far not the best talent in the ring. But, you know, I'm hoping that you get this guy a rival. You finally get someone who he can't squash in 90 seconds. You get somebody who's going to give him a hard time. And if you could get a really good talking heel who could make fun of this whole gimmick and say, look at you, you're a 400-pound guy and you're coming out like an idiot and dancing like an idiot and, you know, it's totally stupid. Even bring up the fact that he was supposed to be, oh, the end of humanity, the end of the world. You know, use that. I don't know who you could put up against this guy. Anyone you put up against him is definitely going to be a mid-carder. But at the end of the day, you know what? If Brodus gets his match, congratulations to Brodus. Give the guy a WrestleMania moment as quick as it'll be. It'll probably be a keeping it PG urination break for most people, except those who want to listen to the song. But in any event, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our first commercial break. When I come back, we're going to talk a little bit about WrestleMania. I'm going to run down the card, and then I'm going to take the always, always gigantic risk of opening up the phone lines and allowing you, the listeners, to tell me what you think. Stay tuned right here on the SNS Radio Network for the Pro Wrestling Rewind. I am the Bronx Father. We'll be right back.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Does listening to wrestling news live make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan? Would the Trey Dog drink Velvet Sky's bathwater?
Well, hello there, Velvet. That is some good bathwater, baby.
Ow! Listening to Wrestling News Live does make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan, although it will not save you any money on your car insurance.
What it comes down to is being the best.
You talk about mind games, you talk about physicality.
For the authentic wear label on the shirt. Here comes the rain. Sold only at WWEshop.com and at all WWE live events.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry Crisco. I'm on this fantastic program, Pro Wrestling Rewind. You too can listen and participate. All you gotta do is go to the website to the SNS Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. The Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network. I am the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella, bringing it via satellite. And I am solo tonight, the Power Andy Knowles, with personal business to take care of. So what I'd like to do right now before we open up the phone lines is just break down the WrestleMania card for this Sunday. Now, something interesting. I am going to read this card to you in the order it was put on the WWE website. Now, it makes me wonder, guys, is this the order that the matches will appear in on the show? I don't know, but I find this order very interesting. On, of course, WWE.com, they have the first match listed, Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos. How do you pronounce this woman's name? My God, Maria Menounos versus Divas Champion Beth Phoenix and Eve. I'm not going to reveal my picks on the show. I'm going to leave that up to 4down.org, www.4down.org. Go on to that site, guys. Make an account. Request to join the SNS League. And you can make your picks. You'll be competing not just against your fellow listeners, but against all the leagues on the website. So please represent the SNS Radio Network and head on over to Four Down. But anyway, in this match, if this is the opening match, I don't know. I mean, the opening match should get you excited. The opening match should get you stoked. But then again, if you're watching it, they already have your money. I see a more relevant match opening up WrestleMania. I kind of think the Divas match will be thrown in the middle somewhere to kind of bring the crowd down a little bit before pushing them back up, but we shall see. The next match list, of course, is Randy Orton versus Kane. This is an interesting match, although I've got to say the Bronx Father is not that thrilled with the buildup they had to this match. It almost seems to me as if this was just thrown together at the last minute. I mean, Kane went from suddenly, you know, feuding with Cena, which of course had to end because Cena's too busy with The Rock. And then they moved it on to him wrestling Randy Orton. I think it'll be an interesting match in as far as, you know, Randy Orton's not the guy to mess with. You know, he's not like John Cena. He will do whatever he can to hurt Kane. So I think you've got these two psychotic elements, psychotic in different ways, but psychotic nonetheless. So should be an interesting match. The next match listing puts Team Teddy versus Team Johnny. Of course, Teddy Long's team versus John Laurinaitis' team, with the winner, the team that wins, obviously, that means that their respective GM becomes the GM of both Raw and SmackDown. This is a hard one to call. You know, a lot of these matches on this card are a lot harder to call than the internet makes it seem. You know, everyone's saying that Team Johnny is the likely team to go over here. Well, I don't know. To be honest with you, neither guy does a lot for me. I mean, Teddy Long, he's entertaining, he's funny, but he's been around for so long, and I don't know, he just doesn't get me excited as a GM. John Laurinaitis, at least Johnny gets heat, you know? He forces the crowd to have a reaction, and I believe that in a GM situation, your GM has to be heel. The GM's job is to constantly screw over your baby faces, so when they finally prevail at the end, it looks like that they've beaten all odds. So, I don't know. I don't know what direction WWE may go. I'm going to lean towards John Laurinaitis' team, but, well, we shall see. Next match listing, the Intercontinental Championship, Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show. Now, this match has had some great hype. You know, Cody coming out every week, making fun of The Big Show, basically showing him as a buffoon. Cody is doing such a great job. I heard that he does have a nagging injury. Again, another match that I really have trouble calling because on the one hand, The Big Show has been punked out by Cody for so long right now that you almost think he has to go over. He's just been humiliated and dogged so much. Cody's been getting the upper hand. And also, if The Big Show wins, he'll hit a milestone simply because he will be one of the elite stars who has earned every active title in the WWE. The Big Show has held the WWE title, the World Heavyweight title, the United States title, the WWE Tag titles, and the ECW and Hardcore titles. So, if Big Show wins, he gets put in a pretty damn elite group. That right there, guys, could be a reason that we see Show go over. If, of course, the WWE mentions this, Big Show's a workhorse. He's been around for a long time. Everyone remembers his WCW days, the huge feuds that he had with Kevin Nash. I like Show, Paul White, you know, and but I like Cody too. I mean, this WrestleMania has me just, wow, has me broken in two so much to decide who I want to go over and who should go over, and that's a good thing. Moving right along, the next match listing, World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. This should be an interesting match, the big brawler against the technical guy. Daniel Bryan is a guy who, a year ago, the Bronx Father himself said wouldn't even make it to WrestleMania. When Daniel Bryan was running around with the Money in the Bank briefcase, I was the first guy to say that he would not be the world champ by WrestleMania, that he wouldn't even be competing at WrestleMania. And you know what? Shut my mouth. Daniel Bryan has impressed the hell out of me over the last couple of months. His heel character has really, really grown. He's the guy you love to hate. Congratulations to him for finding his niche. He's a fine wrestler. I'll never debate that. But on the other hand, Sheamus has really become a huge fan favorite. He's been working his butt off for the better part of 2-3 years now. And he's a guy who I would not mind at all seeing being the world heavyweight champion. So again, another match that I'll be honest, I'm not sure. Do you continue with Daniel Bryan pissing everyone off? Or do you put that belt on Sheamus and have him run with it for a while and maybe start a new feud between Sheamus and another top heel? Again, we shall see. WWE Champion CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. What's there to say about this? I mean, Chris Jericho has been doing everything in his power to get under the skin of CM Punk. Chris Jericho is the first and only guy to evoke an emotional response from CM Punk. This is a guy who has accused this man's father of being a raging alcoholic, has accused his sister of being a drug addict who obtains the money for her drugs in, let's say, less than reputable fashion. He's accused this man's mother of conceiving and giving birth to him before she was married. Now, where I come from, saying stuff like that gets you hurt. Gets you hurt really, really badly. But again, this is a match that, in my opinion, isn't easy to call. CM Punk's held that belt for a while now. And I don't know. In my mind, CM Punk hasn't maintained that juggernaut monster babyface push that he had last year when he first started with the pipe bomb gimmick. He just, to me, doesn't it seem like anyone else that he's fallen just a little bit in popularity, even with his, you know, his television time? I don't know. I could see Chris Jericho going over here, winning the title, maybe having CM Punk chase for a bit, or maybe bringing another guy into the limelight. Again, another match that I can't call for certain. And again, this is a good thing. Now, one of the big two, of course, The Undertaker versus Triple H, Hell in a Cell, with special guest referee Shawn Michaels. Pardon me. This is going to be a bloodbath. And I hope it literally is a bloodbath. I hope the WWE gives a pass for one night only for these two guys to just go at it. Both of these guys have had multiple Hell in a Cell matches. No two guys know the Hell in a Cell better. And kudos to the WWE for, you know, making this match interesting, because this is the third time that these two have locked horns. See that? See that? I knew going solo was a bad idea. Oh, Lord, I apologize. The Bronx Father has made a major mistake. Ladies and gentlemen, we're supposed to forget about the first match. I shouldn't have said that. Let me go back. The Undertaker versus Triple H, Mark Take. The Undertaker versus Triple H have fought once before. This will be their second match. I was wrong. The first match that happened in another dimension, therefore it didn't exist. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic. But the WWE seems to think we all have Alzheimer's. But again, they've made it interesting by putting it in a Hell in a Cell. This one is easy. Undertaker's going to get that goose egg. He's going to go 20-0. There's just no way. You know, who needs this win? Well, neither guy needs the win. Triple H is a god in the business. Taker's a god in the business. But if Taker wins, he gets that 20-0. That beautiful number that'll be put up on the Titantron. I think this one's a no-brainer. The thing that I'm not sure of is what role is Shawn Michaels going to play. That interests me more than the outcome of the match, because I think we can all agree on the outcome of the match. But our final match listing, and I believe this will be the match to close WrestleMania, will be John Cena versus The Rock. And, well, 365 days build up. These guys better damn sure deliver. And I think they will. John Cena has, you know, improved his in-ring game quite a bit since his early days. The Rock, I don't even need to mention him. We all know The Rock can go. The thing about this match is, everyone on the internet, their mother, their sister, their father, their brother, their third, second, fourth, fifth cousins, all have John Cena going over. Everyone says John Cena needs to win this match. Really? Well, when was the last time John Cena got beat at WrestleMania? Crickets. You know, John Cena has, the WWE has done nothing but put this guy over for years and years. Here's my deal. If this is truly the be-all, end-all, one-time match between these two, I agree. John Cena should go over. But if they're planning to have two or three matches between these guys, as has been hinted on the internet, no, Cena doesn't have to win them. Because if you're going to have a second and or a third match, you can have The Rock go over. Not only that, put this bee in your bonnet. The WWE likes to send the crowd home happy. John Cena mentioned himself this past Monday night on Raw that the boos he was getting as he came out, he expected to get booed in Miami this Sunday. So, if John Cena goes over, that crowd's not going to be happy at the end of the pay-per-view. Just saying, guys, don't believe that it's a total lock, because it's not. Whew. With that being said, I am going to open up the phone lines. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call into the Pro Wrestling Rewind, we have some new toll-free phone numbers for you to use. The first number you can use is 1-888-751-5925. That's 1-888-751-5925. Or you can try 1-855-294-1888. 855-294-1888, or simply add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype, and you can reach us that way. So the phones are open. But the interesting thing about WrestleMania is that it technically ends one booking year. It's almost like the season finale for the WWE. And when WrestleMania ends, they usually start doing some new stuff, pushing new guys, starting new gimmicks. You know, it's an interesting time of the year, and I really, really hope that once WrestleMania is over, we see some new people being pushed, maybe some changes in the creative department as far as who's going over, who's going to be the star of 2012. You know, pick your favorite superstar and, you know, hope they get pushed. I really want to see guys like Dolph Ziggler, who's really been due for a title, you know, being in the title picture, the world title picture. I'm really hoping that that happens. But we have a phone call on the line. Area code 209, line one. Welcome to the Pro Wrestling Rewind. You're live.
Hey there, Bronx. It's Anthony.
What's up, man?
First off, you're doing a great job during the show, even though apparently Brass Eye effed up a little bit in the earlier. That's just a little joke to Brass Eye.
You can't come on here and insult my producer. You can't do that.
Why not?
Well, you just can't. Moving on.
Oh, like you and the Power make jokes about me since I'm in California?
Yes, our porn-free rating. I can just see the Power now pulling his hair out. Porn-free rating plummeting.
Yeah, whatever. And about the whole thing, I mean, it looks likely that Teddy Long's going to lose the match at Mania, but what if he wins? Because then they can have Johnny Ace be the, like, make a heel faction, like the corporation.
Yeah, I mean, sure, that's a great idea. That could work. It's just that, you know, not like I said, neither guy does a lot for me as far as being on TV. I mean, I kind of like both guys. I like Teddy Long. Laurinaitis has grown on me quite a bit just for the fact that he's that Vince McMahon-like character. But, you know, again, this is a match that everybody seems to think is a lock that Team Johnny goes over. And I'm just saying, don't be so sure.
I don't know, but yeah, you're saying that Johnny Ace has grown on you. Cancer can grow on you, but I don't want it.
That's not right. Well, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, and of course we had that big, I didn't even mention this before, that big, big flub by Johnny Ace Monday night when he announced The Miz as part of Team Teddy.
Oh, that's just to replace Del Rio, I believe. Because Del Rio was the original pick, but they said he hasn't healed up.
Well, no, that's not what they said. What they said was they think that him being in that match, it's beneath Del Rio to be in that match. And I ranted on that earlier. That is utter and total bull. What the heck has Del Rio really did to make that statement that this match would be beneath him? I mean, come on. Yeah, everyone makes, and I like Del Rio, don't get me wrong. But everyone makes this guy out to be the reincarnation of Shawn Michaels, the reincarnation of JBL. Not yet.
Oh, I agree as well. And also, have you seen the photos that have been leaked, apparently how this arena is going to look like at Mania?
No, I have not, actually.
They're on some sites. I'll post one on the website, on the chat a little bit later. But it looks like they might have it where the cage is going to be suspended up there, not going to just build it or... Someone had a bright idea. Oh, bring it in by helicopter.
I don't think they're going to bring it in by helicopter. I think they're going to have a crane or some sort of device. And they're going to have the cage ready to go because, the cage, again, that match order, and I gave a disclaimer before, that's the order. It appears on WWE's site, but it's not definitely the order we're going to get. But, I mean, there's not a doubt in my mind. I'd bet a month's pay on it. Cena Rock is going to close WrestleMania. So they need a way to lower that cage and raise it again.
Yeah, most likely they're going to do the whole Hall of Fame inductees coming out while they're lifting the cage back up.
Well, it's possible. They'll do something, excuse me, to kill time. You know, the WWE has never had a problem killing time or something.
Yeah, look at the last year's Mania. Well, they really killed time.
Oh, God, you know, I'm praying, Anthony, they don't do that this year. We don't need the first 25 minutes giving us history on The Rock and Cena. We know it's been 365 days. We don't need it. We all know. If you're ordering WrestleMania, you know what's going down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I still need to order WrestleMania.
Well.
Yeah. Apparently, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Anthony.
Oh, apparently, like, Monday Night Raw was the last real wrestling show because, again, SmackDown, they're just going to have probably two matches, and then they're going to have to do the whole Access WrestleMania build-up show. God help us.
Well, I mean, you know, these guys need to get prepared. You know, if you don't think getting prepared for WrestleMania is a mental and physical, you know, burden on some of these guys, they have to go out and do a lot of promotion. They have to go out, and I have no problem with them canceling SmackDown. I understand why they do it. I mean, you just got to get these guys, you know, get them prepared, get them raring to go, get the fans excited about it, to do a lot of publicity stunts, stuff like that. I understand why they do it. I don't have a problem with it. I don't mind getting, you know, a 6-day break before WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that's true. And also, though you probably don't really watch it, but Ring of Honor is going to have two shows coming on starting Friday and Saturday. And I've seen the card. It looks decent. Of course, well, being many a week, they're going to have to build up something.
Well, I mean, I'll admit I don't watch Ring of Honor that much simply because, you know, I would love to see them get a bigger TV deal where they're available in more markets just to give people.
Well, same here.
Yeah.
So I can see it online.
You know, a lot of people, wrestling fans, aren't going to go out there and look for wrestling. They want wrestling to come to them. I mean, guys like you and me and people in chat and people who listen to these shows are diehards. You know, we will go out and look for wrestling. But the average fan, casual fan, isn't going to do that, so.
Yeah, that's true. But overall, I mean, Ring of Honor fans, they're loyal, but they're sometimes the most sometimes annoying fans. And I'm not even counting the people that are constantly in the front row of the TNA shows.
Well, you know, the TNA shows, you've got basically, unfortunately, I hate to say this, recycled fans. I mean, these are people who get in free. They're most likely people who live in the area, and probably you're getting a lot of people who pay for a Universal Studios ticket and see wrestling on the marquee, and it's third, and they say, the hell with it, you know, let me go catch a show. But, you know, how big wrestling fans are they really? But I will say, the Impact crowd's always hot, you know, they're always really into the product, so I just wish they would move on to bigger and better things, they would move on to bigger arenas, not be in Orlando so much, and not pre-record so much. I mean, you know, recording 3-4 Impacts in 2 nights, they really need to stop that.
And dicing them up. They don't do every, like, one day's the whole show, then the next day's the other show. They mix it.
Right.
And that hurts it, I think.
Well, there's a lot of things TNA needs to do differently before they're really, really in the, you know, on the level of the WWE, but anyway.
Yeah, it has improved. It has improved. Though I got to admit that last week was a little but overall, it has improved. I admit that. One guy I didn't like is Austin Aries.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I like Bobby Roode's character. Definitely him being this, you know, just heel that everybody loves to hate. You know, I have no problem with Bobby Roode. I've definitely seen a shift since Russo left, and you know, let's wait and see what happens with TNA. I'm gonna still watch and hope that they improve.
Yeah, and one thing I heard this on another on internet show, but when Rude's hair gets all dried up and poopy, I swear to God, he looks like the Simpsons Sideshow Bob. I swear, just look at you like, holy crap.
Wouldn't it be great to have Bobby Roode walk to the ring and just have a rake in the aisle and he steps on it and hits him in the head and you just hear, and he just gets walk into the ring?
That'd be good. Have freaking then Taz look like Krusty the Clown.
Krusty the Clown. And you could have Mike Tenay be the news guy. Who's the news guy on The Simpsons? I forget. Kent Brockman?
Yeah, I believe so.
You know, it's the biggest night. In sports entertainment, it's bigger than WrestleMania. It's bigger than the Super Bowl. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be the most electrifying night in sports entertainment. And I just pooped my pants.
And you can have Ric Flair be Mr. Burns. Unfortunately, Mr. Burns has money.
Oh, but ba-dum-bum-bum-tsh.
Hey, my jokes have gotten better.
That ain't right. Anyway, Anthony, I'm due for a commercial break, my friend. Thank you for calling.
All right.
Enjoy WrestleMania.
No problem. You too.
All right, buddy. Take care. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, we're going to take a brief commercial break. The phone lines will remain open after the break, so call in if you want, and we'll be right back with the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
In March of 2012, the two former hosts of the popular CauseCast radio show, the Phenom Charles Shane and Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ Sixay, reunited on Friday nights to cover WWE SmackDown, the latest news in the world of professional wrestling, the world of gaming, and entertainment. If you tune in on Friday nights, starting at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, on the SNS Radio Network located at www.snsradionetwork.com. Perhaps you can listen to the U-Team on the new Unplugged.
The band is back together!
It's time.
It's time to stop.
The name-calling.
The hurt.
The bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color,
sexual orientation.
It's time to treat everyone like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Hey guys, this is Lori, the WrestleWitch champion, and you're listening to The Power. Andy Knowles on Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Back here once again with the Pro Wrestling Rewind. I'm the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella, and ladies and gentlemen, the lines are still open. Give us a call and get anything you want off your mind. Talk about WrestleMania. Pardon me. Talk about, well, anything that you want. Those phone numbers again, ladies and gentlemen, 1-888-751-5925 or 1-855-294-1888. Or yet again, add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype. So, you know, something I had heard, I wasn't going to bring this up. This was on the SNS Facebook page a couple days ago, and I was not able to verify this. I wasn't able to really find a source, and unfortunately, no source was given. But someone on the SNS Facebook page had mentioned about TNA's problems paying their talent. And this is something that's been going on for a while. I'll touch a little more on this in a moment, but we have a call on the line. I believe it's Andy. Andy, you're live on the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Well, hey, what's up, Rox?
How you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm good. I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple things, if that's all right.
Sure.
First thing is, it said to JJ the other night that I don't like the card as a whole. I mean, there's certain things I like about it as far as like a certain match, because I like Taker and Edge, obviously,
right.
Because I think those two are going to be the match of the night. And all and what I'll say to that is, with The Rock and Cena, I just don't like the way that they did it, having it for a whole year, you know, having it be done for a whole year. And I don't like the CM Punk match, because I don't think that CM Punk is doing as good as he can do on the mic anyway now. Because what creative should have done was have him continue with the pipe bomb stuff, because I felt like that was a good thing for him. He was actually doing a good job as far as being able to get his points across. And now it's like, you know, I'm bored with the way that him and Jericho don't really, you know, they don't jab at each other a lot. And I just think they could have just done more with it. With Brian and as far as that match, I hate to say that AJ is going to help him to win that match. I know that Sheamus is a great guy as far as his in-ring talent, but I think that AJ will help Brian to be able to pull off the win there. So with that said, how about your thoughts on this upcoming show this weekend?
Well, I mean, as far as Rock Cena goes, I mean, I touched on this before. I agree with you. A year is way too long a build. I mean, you know, 365 days. And the thing is, it cripples, well, in this case, it doesn't cripple The Rock, because he's not a full-time wrestler anymore. But a guy like John Cena, again, all you've thought about all year when you look at John Cena is The Rock. And but as far as the match itself goes, I think it's going to be a good match. You know, I mentioned earlier rumors about possibly Brock coming in next year to wrestle someone, and possibly
I don't want to see that happen.
Well, it's not so much that I don't want to see it happen. I just don't want to see another 52-week build on it. You know what I mean? That's what
I don't even.
With it. Yeah. Now, as far as what you said about CM Punk. Yeah, I agree to a certain extent, but you have to look at it this way. You know, any pipe bomb can be defused, and that's what Jericho's doing. He's coming out and he's saying stuff about this guy. And you know, I said before, man, you talk about my family like that. First of all, I don't know how I'd react. It would probably be in a violent way. And he's getting in Punk's head. He's defusing that pipe bomb. You know, so Punk isn't going to be as animated as he was before, because you've got this guy really, really hitting you where it hurts and really, you know, bringing it to you in a very personal and derogatory way. So, I mean, I think you're going to have in this match, Punk is going to beat the living crap out of Jericho for a while. Jericho is going to come back. Again, as far as picking a winner, it's not that easy. Match... You mentioned Taker, Triple H. You just can't go wrong. I mean, these are two old school guys. They're workhorses. They're attitude era guys. Like I said, you know what? If I'm Triple H, go to Vince. Hey, you know what, Vince? Take and I'll pay whatever fine we have to pay. We want to bleed. We want to get really, really vicious. Let these two go. Put them in the cage like two wild dogs and let them rip each other to pieces, because they're both older. You're not going to get, if you're expecting a technical clinic here, you're going to be sadly disappointed.
No.
Yeah, you're going
to
see.
And that brings me up to my final point. I wanted to get your thoughts, because I talked about product in the note I wrote you. And the only thing that I think will save the product as far as this upcoming show is, I think that that match is going to be the one that's going to make it good. And that's going to, and I think that that match is going to be the one that will make it a show that people have to see. And now, that brings me up to my final point. I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the things that I wrote over the weekend to you on Facebook. I know you said it was very good, but I wanted to ask you as far as product, and I could mention the Hard Rock Cafe is part of the example. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that real quick.
Well, I apologize. I don't remember everything that you mentioned in your letter. It was a great letter, and I appreciate you sending that to me. But if you could elaborate on what you mean, you have an open floor to do that. And I apologize again. I do so much during the week. I can't remember your letter verbatim. But,
right,
go over the details of exactly what you're referring to.
Well, basically what I said was how you had said that Hooters – that they don't pay me. And what I said was that they don't care about who I am because they don't care as far as the fact I'm a fan. I think they think that's great. But at the end of the day, it's a lot like with Vince. I mean, they are a company that has to make a bunch of money at the end of the day. And another thing I had said in it was how the Hard Rock Cafe is ran by a guy who is a type of person who is not a people person. He's very serious in the way that he runs the Hard Rock Cafe. He does not smile. When he gives a talk to the media, he basically says the same stuff over and over again because he's from Scotland. And basically what I said was how I tried to work there for the past 5 years at the Hard Rock Cafe, and they won't hire me because they think it's above them to have a handicapped person there working who can tell them everything they're doing wrong and knows everything about their product, about the Hard Rock, and about the history of the Hard Rock Cafe. And also that also goes along with Hooters. So my point to that was how, for example, when Turner, when he sold to Time Warner, how, for example, the Hard Rock went from being a very cool place to be to being a company when Dodds came in, to being a company that basically they basically have an expected level of service at each Hard Rock Cafe where corporate says that you have to do it this way and do it that way. That's basically what I said.
Well, I mean, you know, when you own a company, sometimes you can't always take every little suggestion and everything that comes your way. I mean, I'm sure the WWE gets probably thousands of emails and letters a day about how they should do this and how they should do that. But you know what? You do get a certain amount of ego when you've run a successful company. And a guy like Vince McMahon, who in the 90s went through hell, who almost lost his company. And you know what? I'll give props to the man. A lot of people would have given up. Basically, I had read in a wrestling book that they had suggested that Vince sell to Ted Turner, and Vince basically said, I'd rather see my family homeless and sell pencils on the street, because it's heartbreaking to think that when you've struggled to build an empire, you know, when you get to that level, you may not necessarily want people to tell you how to run your business. You know, it almost gets like, who are you? Now, to you and I, that seems egotistical, but then again, neither of us has ever owned a company. As far as them not hiring you because you're handicapped, that's complete and utter disgracefulness. I am a handicapped individual myself. That's intolerable. It's disgusting, and it's against the law. And if that's their only reason, you know, for shame. But anyway, Andy, I have to let you go. Thank you so much for the call, man. Enjoy the rest of your week, and enjoy WrestleMania.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right,
good
night. All right, ladies and gentlemen, interesting topics brought up by Andy. And anyway, getting back before our next phone call, getting back real quick to what I was mentioning before Andy called in about TNA was that, again, on the SNS Facebook page, someone had posted, I wouldn't even call it a story, a rumor, because, again, no source was given, that TNA – you know, is having trouble. Talent's getting paid late, not getting paid on time, or talent's just not getting paid. Now, if that's true, again, if that's true, that's a shame. Because, I mean, that really makes you look Bush League. Now, I know in the past it's been said that TNA's been having some problems with money. Now, you have to remember, from what I understand, Dixie Carter is not in charge of the money. Dixie's mom is in charge of Panda Energy. And Panda Energy is the owner and financial backer, excuse me, of Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, or Impact Wrestling, if you will. I just can't get over, I can't call it that. I don't know. It's TNA. You know, these guys, they're wrestlers, go out there. They put on a hell of a show every week. They put on a hell of a show every month in their pay-per-view. They're keeping their end of the deal. You know, if you're not paying them accordingly or on time, for shame. I mean, that's just really, really, you know, hard to swallow, man. You know, if a person does their job to the best of their abilities, you're supposed to pay them. Now, the whole reason that the whole they angle in late 2009, the second they angle, pardon me, late 2010, excuse me, didn't come to fruition is because TNA basically wanted Booker T and Kevin Nash to re-sign for less money. And Booker and Kevin said, really? Well, we can go to the WWE. We can get paid. We can get a Legends contract. Booker, I can sit on my butt, do commentary. Kevin Nash, I can be in video games and get paid probably 10 times what I'm getting paid here. So see you. Bye. You know, just no matter what you say about TNA, whether you like it, whether you hate it, whether you're indifferent about it, any company has to pay their employees. You have to pay them on the day you promised them you're going to pay them. And you have to pay them what you promised you were going to pay them. And if TNA is indeed, you know, doing what this rumor says they're doing right now, that's not good. They've also been known to not, you know, pay their wrestlers insurance. Now, the WWE is guilty of that, too. The WWE in its fine print says that right now, talent has to have its own medical insurance, which I think is, oh, just, man, some of these wrestlers are treated so bad. It just kills me sometimes. However, with that being said, I believe we do have another phone call. Area code 252, you're live on the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I was going to say, you don't give my number out. That would be a bad day for you, brother.
What's up, Sean? I wouldn't give your number out, brother. Come on, you know that.
Yeah, you're trying to get the pitman on me or something? What the heck? But you're doing a good job, Bronx. I definitely wanted to call in and say that. I mean, being solo on a show is kind of one of those things where it's a little shaky at first. But you're doing a great job. Just want to say that, number one.
Thank you, man.
Number two, I haven't listened to the full show. I will say that. I kind of had to go grab a shower, get something to eat at a certain point. So when I got back, I heard talks about the structuring of the Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania and all that. Mm-hmm. Pictures were released a little early about showing the stage built, showing the ceiling being built, and all of that. And, I mean, the ceiling looks really good. But the picture that I saw looked like they were changing the Hell in a Cell. I mean, I'm trying to find the picture again right quick, but I can't seem to find it. But the picture looks like a black barred cage almost that covers the entire ring, covers usual cell structure ways, or the length of it. But it looks like a black barred cell from the pictures. So I'm not entirely sure what they're actually doing with the cell, if that's even the cell, or if it was just them trying to get it set up so that they can actually build the real cell. But, I mean, the pictures that they've shown are definitely looking interesting, to say the least, because it looks like, when were they in Florida a few years ago?
Oh, I don't have JJ's memory for dates. I'm sure he could tell you if he was on, but I'm sure they've had a WrestleMania in Florida at some point.
I think a few years ago they had one in Florida. They had in the open air stadium again, and they had to build the set. They had to build the ceiling. They had to build all of that, and so that they could hold that cube, that Titantron video cube that they had in the middle of the ring, which was pretty cool. And it looks just like that. It looks like they're bringing that back to hold the cell, to look like it can do everything like that. So, I mean, it's definitely looking like it's going to be very interesting how they do the WrestleMania Hell in a Cell this year with the fact they're in the open-air stadium. But, I mean, Sunday is only a few days away. We'll find out then. But
I got no problem with them changing the cell up a little bit. I mean, it's been basically the same structure for God, how many years now? I wouldn't mind if it looked a little different. I mean, I still remember the old steel cage. And the reason I remember it is I owned the toy that you could put around your wrestling ring and build the steel cage. It wasn't fenced. If you remember, it was vertical and horizontal bars, which intersect to form like squares. And I think that was a much more devastating structure than the steel cage that they use nowadays.
Well, see, the thing is with that, WWE wanted to be different. They wanted to have something completely different from everybody else. I don't know if you know this, but back in the day when they actually did have cage matches, it was actually chicken wire. It was that octagonal type of wire that they actually wrap around the basically a fence, and they would put that as a cage. That stuff hurts. I mean, if you even like get your finger in there wrong, you can break your finger pretty easily. So WWE wanted something different. They wanted to be able to safer with what they were going with, so they brought out the blue bars. The blue bars is one of the most iconic memories from WWF. So if they brought back a cell that was actually a black bar cell and left a cage mesh on top of the cell, then I would suspect that we could see something on top of the cell, which would be the first time in a couple of years that we've seen something like that. But this is also this is The Undertaker. This is Triple H. This is Shawn Michaels. They're not spring chickens, as the saying would go. They're not going to get up there. I mean, something could happen where all three could fall through the cell at the same time and really have a problem. So, I mean, we'll have to see what comes up this Sunday, but I'm definitely looking forward to that Hell in a Cell match. I mean, they're calling it End of an Era. I'm calling it Match of the Night immediately. Other than Chris Jericho and CM Punk, that's definitely going to be one of the greatest matches on the card.
Well, I mean, the thing you have to remember, too, about Taker and Triple H is, yeah, they're not spring chickens, you're right, but I also think that neither man really has any regard for their personal well-being when it comes to wrestling because they're old school. These guys, I think, when that bell rings, they go somewhere else. They're no longer in this same plane of existence as we are. That bell rings and they fall into like a trance and just do whatever the hell they want to do. And they're going to tear it up. Now, will it go to the top of the cage? I would say you're right. Probably not. But they're going to use that cage. And that's something you don't see enough of in this PG era. I mean, you have a cage match and it's a regular wrestling match. No, the cage or the cell is a prop, and it needs to be used. I want to see a guy's face rubbed into it. I want to see spots where a guy gets whipped into the cage. I want to see a guy's arm held up against the cage and hit with a steel chair. Use that cage, and I think that's something that Triple H and Taker will insist on. Neither of them care if they get heat later. Do you think either of them care if Vince comes over and says, you know, you guys went too far? They don't give a damn. So I agree with you. I set that. You and I are on the same page. That's going to be match of the night, without a doubt.
And you know, with the way Taker and Triple H have worked in the past, I mean, last year they were supposedly fined for their headshot with the steel chair.
Right.
I'm not going to say it's not within the realm of possibility that we could see that again, or even the possibility of some color. I mean, I know they're going for the PG era, no blood, no nothing like that. But this is two guys that have worked so long together that they know they've probably got each other's blood running in their veins to begin with. that we could possibly see a little bit of color, and we could see the Mets come down. But HBK could be that one guy who said, nope, we're letting this one go. Keep fighting. There's blood all over the ring. Keep going. But, I mean, with WWE being the way they are, we may not see that. We may see it. I mean, it's Triple H Undertaker's decision to completely get through that.
I'd love to see a spot, and you just made me think of this. I'd love to see a spot where one guy gets color. Boom. Out come the trainers. Out come the doctors. They open the, well, I guess they'd have to lift the cage. The steel cage has no, I mean, the Hell in the Cell has no door. So they start lifting the cage, and Sean just slides out under the cage, super kicks the doctor's teeth down his throat, slides back in, gives the signal to re-lower it, and lets them go. Man, can you imagine the pop for the old school fan if they did that?
I mean, pretty much everyone would jump up and basically say, this is amazing. I mean, that's one thing that I would love to see. I want some color. I want to see Triple H or Undertaker color. I mean, that's what's going to set the match apart if it does happen. I mean, if it doesn't happen, then oh well. But, I mean, it's still going to be a great match no matter what.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a steel cage match. It's not, you know, Detroit in the Cell. It's hell. And hell is the most horrible, brutal, savage place you can be. It's hell in a cell. You know, do it right, and I think they will. But with that said, thank you so much for calling, Sean. You take care, brother. And
you too, man.
I'll talk to you, man. Have a good night.
Later, brother. Peace.
Yeah, and Sean brings up some really interesting points. I mean, you know, we know it's a PG product, but by God, you know... Lord, put a disclaimer at the beginning and just say, look, it's going to be more violent than usual. Parental discretion is advised. Man, give the old school guys a break. But we have another caller on the line. Area code 909, you're on the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Hey, yo, Bronx, it's L Train.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, not much. Let me call in with a... I was curious about something that, since we've been talking about, obviously, about WrestleMania this Sunday. And in case Sean's listening, the whole little outdoor thing he was talking about with Florida, and he brought up that big old cube that they had in the ring. I think he's actually getting two WrestleManias mixed up. The last time they were in Florida for WrestleMania, I think that was actually 24 in Orlando. And that big old cube thing he was thinking of, I think that was from WrestleMania 26, where it was in Phoenix, I think.
Well, I'd have to research that. I watch a wrestling event, and then I usually never watch it again because I've seen it. So you forget a lot of things. So, you know, I'll take your word for it, and, you know, I guess you and Sean can debate that at some point, or we can look it up and see definitively. But, you know, I think that... And here we go with the city noises. They're coming to get me again. They know I'm doing the show. They're going to come. They're going to put the cuffs on. They're going to drag me out kicking and screaming, and we'll have dead air. But anyway, you know, I think they, you know, the WWE, they've got the best people. They're going to know how to set that cage up. They're going to make sure it's rigged safely. They're going to make sure that it's it looks good on TV and to the live crowd. So as far as rigging it, how it's going to be done, I don't know. If the cell is going to be a little bit different, I don't have a problem with that. Change it up. It's been the same for so long. I'm cool with that.
I can see that. I was curious about something as far as, team, the whole general manager feud thing going on. Obviously, you know, we got our whole little... mishmash of different people in there. You know, you got guys for Team Laurinaitis, like, you know, Mark Henry, Swagger and Ziggler, and, you know, everybody else makes up that team. And you got, I think I saw a report saying that this is, like, you were talking about how some people were saying this match would be kind of below Del Rio's standard that they have for him because they want to bring him back up with this high thing. Because I guess they're looking at this as sort of a, you know, a comedy match, you know, when you got guys like Kali in there and Truth with his whole little Jimmy thing and Kofi, you know, with his whole acrobatics thing like we saw on Monday where I think I got to credit my buddy Anwar for this with a little Dragon Ball Z quote saying that Kofi ran down to the ring like he was Goku flying down Snake Way and then just getting squashed like he was Krillin by Mark Henry.
Oh, yeah. He has to train with King Kami, definitely. And, you know, just, yeah, I'm a big Dragon Ball Z Mark myself. You know, as far as, I mean, that really kind of got to me when they said it would be below Del Rio. Well, how about this? If Del Rio would have been in that match, how about he gets the pin for Team Johnny? Let him get the pin, and that gives him the opportunity to come out the next night. John Laurinaitis comes out. I'd like to introduce to you the hero of WrestleMania who made you have to listen to my lovely voice for another year. Albert, and before he finishes, you have little Rodriguez come out, give his spiel, and then Del Rio comes out. He comes in the ring, him and John Laurinaitis hug, and you have Laurinaitis say, you know, I'm putting you right in the title picture. You're my boy. Beneath him? No. I think that match could have been used to elevate him. And as far as I know, he can compete at this point. As far as I know, he is physically able to compete. I would have had no problem with him in that match at all. I think it would have given it a little more, like you said, it's almost like has a cartoonish feel to it. Both these guys, Laurinaitis and Teddy Long, just, you know, it almost seems like it's not serious at all. And I get what you're saying. Even the characters that are involved. I mean, poor Mark Henry. You know, this is a guy who went from being world champ. He's kind of fallen a bit. And that's bad because he had so many years saddled with just terrible, horrible gimmicks. It was good to see him elevated for the few months that he was. But now he just seems relegated back to the mid-card. And that's a shame.
He almost had like as bad a track record as Kane has, because I mean, we know Kane. It's hard to think of anybody who's had as bad a track record with horrible gimmicks and horrible angles as Kane has had. And you're right, Mark Henry's had quite a few bad ones also. And the whole Hall of Pain thing that we saw start up in the summer of last year, it was the first real, you know, like big push that he's had, and it took him all the way to winning the belt. And I think maybe it's the whole speculation that he might be leaving, like this might be his last year, or maybe within the next year or so. It could possibly be that. I'm wondering what they're going to be doing as far as, you know, who's going to be winning this whole thing. Because in my opinion, I think with just how they might have some stuff play out, I'm thinking that Team Teddy might actually win this. Only because I think, you know, obviously Teddy will be in charge, but just my opinion, based on how it sounds like they might be bringing him back in, I'm thinking Laurinaitis might be hanging around and, you know, might be trying to snatch the power back away from Teddy with this whole Lord Tensai thing coming up.
Yeah, it's possible. That could give Lord Tensai, a.k.a. Albert, you know, a chance to, you know, really have something going for him. You know, Laurinaitis could say, well, I lost this match. I have no more power. So you know what? I'm going to bring in a killer. And, you know, it almost makes me think this almost seems like the way they introduced Brodus Clay. You know, they're doing these, you know, mystery backstage, you know, promos with just showing him flexing and showing his back and, you know, putting all the Japanese writing. I'm just hoping that they don't try to do something stupid. You know, bring him in as a monster. That's what they were going to do with Brodus. And I see so many comparisons between the video packages they had for Brodus before he came in as the Funkasaurus and these video packages that they have for Lord Tensai. I hope I'm saying that right.
Tensai, it's pretty much.
But, you know, I hope when he comes in as the absolute beast that they're portraying him to be.
It seems like it, as long as they don't reference the whole hip-hop hippo thing again. And since he's been over in Japan, they have him in, like, some mech suit doing the robot and all that.
Man, I'll tell you right now, if he comes out to Rapper's Delight, I'm never watching wrestling again. I'm done.
Oh, damn. Oh, man. There was one last thing I just wanted to ask real quick. As far as the whole fact that there's only 8 matches going on for this WrestleMania, I'm wondering, you know, it sounds like they're going to be stretching a lot of stuff over time. Maybe they'll actually be giving a lot of the matches some more time for the guys to work with. But thinking back to how they had some of the, you know, the comedy spots last year, like they had some stuff with Snoop Dogg and Pee Wee Herman, I think. I'm hoping they don't do that this year, but if they have time spaced out to, like, have some stuff going on, do you think with the possibilities that this could be Taker's last match at Mania, do you think, like, maybe they might have some time set aside to, like, you know, have some sort of a big show if this is his last one, like he goes out in, you know, some sort of, you know, mystical fashion or something like that?
I don't think they would do it at WrestleMania, and here's why. Because if you did it after his match with Triple H, you're taking away hype from Cena Rock. You're not going to do it after Cena Rock because that's definitely how you want to close. What would be cool is if Taker is planning on retiring, you just maybe he beats Triple H and maybe he does something where he does, you know, the thumb across the throat, but then points to himself and then just have him look at the crowd, look, you know, up at the 20-0 sign that you know they're going to put on the Titantron, and maybe do the old Biker Taker gimmick for a second where he raises his fist and the rest of the crowd does it with him. And then you have him walk out, and perhaps the next night on Raw or even at the next pay-per-view, you basically announce that, you know, Taker has achieved his 20-0 and he's happy with that and he's done. I personally think if you're not going to put someone over using the streak next year and make him go 20-1, if you never have plans to do that, this should be his last one.
It'll be interesting, man. I can't wait to see. Shoot, this is the guy who made me a fan 15 years ago. The guy who I've been a fan of even when I started training myself. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do.
Well, I mean, I remember as a kid, I remember The Undertaker's first appearance. I mean, Brother Love comes out and, you know, brings this demon. I mean, and you know, I was a younger kid. He was larger than life. He scared the living crap out of me the first time I saw him. And I mean, you know, it's like even his name is so iconic. You know, CM Punk's looking for you. Okay. You know, John Cena's looking for you. Whatever, you know, bring it. You walk up to a guy and say, yo, man, there's a dude named The Undertaker looking for you. What? You know, just his name says it all. The Undertaker. He's a guy who puts dead people in their coffin. I mean, how much more badass can you get? So definitely, man, he deserves to go out with a bang. He deserves Hall of Fame. He deserves a 10-disc DVD set highlighting his whole career, and he'll get it. And one last thing I'll say before I let you go, Train. In the 90s, when things were bad, and when Taker debuted, as low as things got, he never drank the Kool-Aid and went to WCW. So you know he's a company guy. And he's going to get what's coming to him, believe me.
I'm sure, man. Well, that's pretty much it for me. I got to echo what Sean said. You're doing a great job. I know just flying solo, it's got to be a little nerve-wracking, but from everything I've heard today, for the past hour and a half or so, you did a great job today, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. You have a good night.
You too. Peace.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm planning on going about 10 more minutes. You have 10 more minutes to get your phone calls in. If you'd like to call the Pro Wrestling Rewind, please do so. You know, it's really great to hear people talk about WrestleMania in a positive way. I haven't heard too much negativity towards this Sunday's WrestleMania. You know, the last two or three years when WrestleMania was announced, the matches were announced, to me, it was like, oh, okay, another WrestleMania. But I got to admit, I'm really looking forward to this WrestleMania. Even my brother, who's been a little jaded on the product lately, he even posted on Facebook, he's looking forward to it. Lot of people out there who are really, you know, psyched about this WrestleMania. And that's a good thing. That shows that the WWE is doing their job. It shows that they're promoting. I read even Vince McMahon is pleased about the way that this WrestleMania hype is turning out. Now, as far as matches go, I will say this. I'm one of those people who would rather have less matches, but more lengthier matches. You know, if you're going to give me a choice between 10, 11 matches that are going to last 6-7 minutes each, or 7-8 matches that are going to go 15, 20 minutes each, I'll take the latter any day of the week. It just seems that nowadays, when you watch a pay-per-view, the matches are quick, too often quick, especially the lower card matches. You know, gone are the days of having 25, 30-minute matches, hour-long Iron Man matches. We haven't seen one of those in quite some time. And, you know, I have no trouble with them having 8 matches as long as we don't have a bunch of ridiculous filler, like L Train mentioned. You know, I don't need to be recapped for 20 minutes about Rock Cena. I don't need to be recapped for 20 minutes about Taker and Triple H. You know, I'm paying for the pay-per-view, which means obviously I've watched Raw, I've watched SmackDown. We all know what's going on. So at the end of the day, you don't need to have all of that nonsense. You know, if a person's seeing it, you've already got their money. So give them what they paid for. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to stay tuned for all the other shows on the SNS Radio Network. Today or tomorrow, I believe, the Midweek Elite Force podcast will be available to download with Chuck W. Of course, this Friday, make sure not to miss Unplugged at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time with JJ Sexay and the Phenom Charles Shane. Over the weekend, you'll have your podcast downloads available, of course, the Elite Force podcast. You will also have, you will have Wrestling News Live Monday night at 11:30 Eastern, 9:30 Mountain, which should be really, really epic. And I've saved the best for last, ladies and gentlemen, this Sunday. 7 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Mountain. Go in your living room and look at your remote control. On your remote control is a mute switch. Order WrestleMania. Hit that mute switch and tune in to Sunday Night Showdown with JJ Sexay, the Trey Dog, and of course, Mark the Shark DiCarlo for WrestleMania 28 pay-per-view coverage. You do not need to suffer through Michael Cole. You can enjoy the pay-per-view and get some real commentary in the background the way it should be. Next week, I hope to be joined once again by the Power Andy Knowles for the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Same time, same channel, same place, same stream, same website. 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy WrestleMania. Enjoy all of the programming on the SNS Radio Network. I'm the Bronx Father, and I'm out. Peace.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Just walk this way to the dawn of the light. Wind will blow into your face as the years pass you by. Hear this voice from deep inside. It's the call of your heart. Close.